The first reading this morning is from the book of Proverbs, chapter 8, verses 27 to 31, found in the Pew Bible on page 580 of the Old Testament. When the Lord established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the human race. Our second reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 36 to 40, and that's found in the Pew Bible and New Testament section on page 24. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." May God bless our understanding of this reading.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I got to tell you before I start on what I've prepared today, you know, the time has really been weird. Up to this point, it was just speeding by, and I knew I'd never have enough time to write everything down the way that I wanted to. But this past hour has just crawled by. We'll have to see how it goes from there, and maybe this part will go by quickly. Well, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thanks for being here this Sunday summer morning, or summer Sunday morning. I take it that some of you might have known that I had been asked to share a few words and thoughts here this morning, and you came anyway. Despite all the reminders, or shall I say warnings, given via email, in print, or verbally, you showed up. I appreciate your support and admire your courage. When asked by some of you what I would be speaking about this morning, I frequently replied, "I'm going to talk about any and everybody who dares to show up," hoping to dissuade those who might otherwise need a day at the beach, or whose garden is woefully weedy, like mine, after all this past week's rain. Keeping good on that promise, here I go. What an amazing family of faith we have here at First Church. I'm truly blessed to have been a part of this family for 20 years or so. At the new member gathering that I attended, it was stressed to me and others that the breadth of my involvement in the life of this church will have a direct result in the depth of the meaningful experiences I would receive. No words have been more true. Like so many of you, I was asked to participate on boards, attend functions, and get involved with many different opportunities to serve God, this church, and the greater world. Often, after saying yes, I would say to myself, "What have you done?" The answer to that question wasn't always clear at first. But sometimes, slowly, and always eventually, God would reveal his plan. As a for instance, while being a youth advisor for Senior High Fellowship, we took the annual trip to Craigsville for the end of the year weekend to celebrate and say goodbye to the graduating seniors. One of the traditions we shared was writing affirmations about those in our group. One that was written to me by a young man from a broken family thanked me for being like a dad to him. I was floored by that, for I didn't especially go out of my way to make that impression. Sometimes we don't realize what effect we are having, but it is amazing what can happen when we show up. Many of those same fellowship members are now getting married and having families of their own. As many of you have know, I've had the opportunity to be a part of the adult mission trips to Back Bay Mission in Biloxi over the past 12 years. There aren't many more powerful experiences than working hard together all day, breaking bread together, and falling asleep to the cacophony of snoring. That last part holds its own power. But really, often I get the opportunity to help lead one of the work teams, and when or if there is a lull in the excitement, it never ceases to amaze me how we as a family come together to help build or rehab someone's home. Someone we have never met and may never know. We give freely of our time and skills. What we get back is priceless. The instances to share of faith and action in that environment are endless. With the time I have here, I will barely scratch the surface of those experiences. I had the chance to build a set of stairs for an elderly woman who hadn't been in her home for over 2 years. She cried as she entered, not knowing if she would have lived long enough to be in her home again. Or the neighbor of the house we were working on, that neighbor bringing over bags of fruit from their trees in their yard to thank us for being there to help return their community to some sense of normalcy. Another family, a family of four, had been living in a FEMA trailer for 2 years. We couldn't work fast enough to help them get out of that situation. Everybody pulled together to try to make that happen. I'm blessed to have had the skills and the opportunity to share with others, whether it be in Mississippi, or with the Hartford Habitat for Humanity, or with Rebuilt Hartford together. The self-satisfaction or feel-good moment is only equaled by the sense of community and in knowing that together we can make miracles happen. I love my church family. I said I was going to talk about you. I know at times, as a member of this family, I've been more like the wayward cousin or the half-brother saying something inappropriate at Thanksgiving dinner table. But thank you for your redemptive grace. I've been graced with the chance to work in some of your homes over these years, and your patience is and has been appreciated. Who knows, I may have even gotten it done on time and made you happy with the result. At times, I have been commissioned to do a few things around here. I am always honored to work on God's house, knowing that the excuse for shoddiness, you're not building a church, cannot be applied. Hanging these shutters, building the bell tables down here, which you don't see today, but making these grills that the music comes through weekly are just a few of the things I've been able to contribute to our church home. I must be 5 or 6 years ago now, to do something. I used to change the light bulbs up in the belfry where the bell is. It's quite a bell up there. Sadly, one December morning some years ago, I had to go up there and ring the bell by hand 26 times as tears rolled down my face. I hope that that's one of the things that I never have to do again. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and redeemer. Last week, while giving thanks to the gift of music on Sunday, we welcomed a new member via baptism. to our church family. He's right here today. During the promises segment, we as congregants get to promise our love, support, and care. That got me thinking about a baptism I was fortunate to be a part of some years ago. From that baptism, fast forward about 15 years, when the world seemed like a very difficult, dark place. Everything seemed overwhelming and hopeless. Confusion and chaos ruled each day. I must not have read that chapter in the parent manual, though I knew a lot about mental illness, at least personally, having a brother who was diagnosed at about the same age. Those were the dark days of this father's time, not knowing where to muster up the strength or resources to get through the next day. You folks kept your promise. And through word, though word seemed sadly ineffective at times, I knew I was not alone. Two Christmases in a row, I was able to visit the youth ward at the Institute of Living, probably not on anyone's list of things to do on that day. I begrudgingly made my way up to the unit and stayed as long as time allowed. Each time I left on those days, I couldn't help but ask myself, where are the other kids' parents? It made me feel guilty knowing that they only had each other on that otherwise festive day. A friend of mine, who has a child with a disability, once told me, we don't love our children less, we get to love them more. After many inpatient stays and different concoctions of antipsychotic medications, there is light. Thanks again for your support, love, and care. Though I probably would rather not have had this be part of my story, I do so in hopes of keeping light on the subject of mental illness and to peel back some of the stigma that so often accompanies it, which is why so many do not seek help. I could go on and on about that, but time won't allow. I saw a bumper sticker just last week. Love thy neighbor, no exceptions. No exceptions. I will say this. I would be more concerned about an angry, undiagnosed white guy with a gun than a family trying to seek political asylum. That being said, I suppose I better get to the gist of what I wanted to say this morning. On the front of your bulletin this morning is a picture of our home, our earth. A lyric written by John Perry Barlow goes, a peaceful place, or so it looks from space. A closer look reveals the human race, and full of hope and full of grace is the human face. But afraid we may lay our home to waste. In the Serenity Prayer, there's a part about courage. Courage to change the things I can. Often I think of that in my own personal ways, of how I can change my attitudes or perceptions on different things. But some people take it to a whole nother level. They have the courage to change things on a much different scale. That concern of laying our home to waste speaks particularly about nuclear proliferation, echoing what Dwight Eisenhower said in 1961 during his farewell speech, saying, the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought by the military-industrial complex, the potential for the rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. At the same time Eisenhower was warning of the military-industrial complex, another industrial complex was quietly getting its grip upon our lives and in our home. In 1962, Rachel Carson released her book, Silent Spring. She warned against the chemicals being used to increase yield and kill pests being sprayed upon food supply and eventually permeating our water supply. She was discredited by the chemical companies as being a communist, and the dreaded hysterical woman. Thank heavens she had the courage to stand up and say and do something, Her efforts brought about the eventual banning of DDT and the birth of the EPA. Sadly, other less developed countries, I say developed carefully, don't have agencies that regulate the chemical industry. Take the Bhopal disaster of 1984 in India, which killed at least 2,000 and injured 200,000. If it is too hard or expensive to make it here, they will just do it cheaper someplace else. I'm sure glad that we learned our lesson. That couldn't happen here. But wait, in 2015, Dr. Mona Hanna Atisha brought to light high blood levels in Flint, Michigan children. She was dismissed not as a communist, but as an unfortunate researcher. This is yet another example of how the trust we have in the people who are supposed to be looking after us has eroded. Attorneys for those being held accountable for the charges against them, ask for the charges to be dismissed on the grounds that clean water is not a constitutional right. Maybe not, but it surely is a human right, especially if human negligence is to blame. I could go on and on about malfeasance by companies and governments, but I'm sure you all have better things to do today. I will mention one more example of courage of women speaking truth to power. 2 weeks ago, ESPN gave out its ESPY Awards. The Arthur Ashe Courage Award was given to 140 of the survivors of sexual assault at the hands of someone they trusted. Now, I don't profess to have any answers or solutions to these injustices that occur to people or the earth, but I do what I can. I know it starts with me. When I see something, I try to say something. For too long, the earth has been exploited, not for all for bad, but there will be a tipping point, a point of no return, when damage we have done will be irreversible. We might already be witnessing some of that. The earth fighting back and reacting to our misuse of God's great gift. It should be cherished, not trashed. As some of you may know, I enjoy gardening and feeding the birds. When I garden, I try to use organic products. It may be a bit more expensive, but I'd rather pay now than pay later. I had lots of company while writing all of this down. Our Norwich Terriers, for one. Jousting hummingbirds, the twittering of a newly hatched family of wrens in birdhouse, flashes of blue, gold, orange, and red from birds sporting those feathers. And as I was so quiet, a fawn even walked down out of the woods within 40 feet of me. I have pictures. A couple of weeks ago, taking a brief moment between all that needs to be done, I pause to look at the bird feeder. Now, I'm sure that those of you who feed the birds also end up feeding the furry kind as well. We have this little chipmunk. We've grown accustomed to. We can tell him apart because he has a broken tail that bends about halfway down. So when he scurries about, it doesn't stand up. So as I looked at him pawing at the shells under the feeder, I felt kind of sad for his state. At that moment, a chickadee landed on the feeder, probably just to have a snack. What happened next shouldn't have surprised me, but did. The chickadee took a black oil sunflower seed and dropped it on the ground, which the chipmunk readily stuffed into his cheeks. I watched this repeat itself for several minutes. I could say that maybe those seeds just weren't to the chickadee's liking and that the chipmunk was less discerning. But what I saw, or perhaps wanted to see, was an act of kindness. Now I have been that chipmunk, a little broken, fragile, hurting at times, and help has come from above, either from God directly or from one of his fine feathered friends among us here. Together, we can do this. We just need a place that we can do it in. My last question is, will we leave this place an empty stone or a shiny ball of blue that we can call our home?